You know, I'm trying to find more of myself. And the only way I can find more is to silence the world out as much as I can, because it's getting busier every day. It's getting faster. I put my phone away and I go dark. I go dark a lot, and it's because I have to find out. I'm on a journey of life, and we all have a different journey.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good whatever, and welcome to another episode of Role Model. You've come to the right place if you want to become a happier, healthier, and more successful human being. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for spending your time with me today. David Goggins steps by today. David Goggins is a big, big inspiration for myself. He wrote one of my most favorite books all time. It's called Can't Hurt Me. If you want to get it, please also make sure to listen to the Audible version. It was one of the best audiobooks I've ever listened to. This is not sponsored, by the way. I just like enjoyed it so much. It's called a tough. David also uses tough language. Like, if you're quite sensitive, maybe it's not the right book for you, and maybe today's episode is not the right episode for you. I just think that we all can learn something from him. And one thing that we can all learn is that we have the control of our minds, not outside events. We are in charge. We are in control. There are many things right now, especially right now during a pandemic, that you can't control. But one thing that you can control is your mind, your attitude, your emotions, your behavior, and how you react and what you make out of this pandemic right now. David Goggins is an American ultra marathon runner, ultra distance cyclist, triathlete, motivational speaker. He's a retired United States Navy SEAL. And just a really inspiring person. I hope you enjoy today's episode. Here is David Goggins.
I'm not the best at anything. I'm not gifted. I'm just driven. I'm a guy that came from nothing. Anybody's capable of doing shit like this. Anybody. And I sat in that tub. She put the water on me. She called my mom up. And my mom was dating a doctor at the time. The doctor said, you need to get him to a hospital now. She came back in. All I wanted to do was call Chris Costner on the phone, the race director of Badwater, and say, I can did it. So she said, I'm taking you to the doctor. I said, no, let me sit here and enjoy this pain. She said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, I need to go to the doctor. I realized that. But I never thought it was humanly possible to do what I did. I went 70 miles. And at 70 miles, I was dead. I was at 100%. What I thought was 100%. And I went 31 more miles after being in the worst physical shape I've ever been in my life. And I sat in that tub and the waters hit me. And it was the most amazing feeling of accomplishment. I did this. As crazy as it sounds, it was the most amazing moment of my entire life. To come from this kid who was mentally tortured himself and was tortured, just all to this kid, to this guy now, who was able to overcome such amazing odds and obstacles. And I called Chris Costner, the race director of Badwater, and he said, the idea of a 24-hour race is to run 24 hours. You only ran 19. And he put doubt in my mind that he would let me into Badwater. 2 weeks later, roughly, December 5th, was this marathon that we all signed up for. I couldn't walk. I could not walk. I ran 100 miles before I ran a marathon. 10 days or 2 weeks after this 100 mile in one race I did, this marathon, December 5th in Las Vegas, that gun went off, 2005, 14 days after I broke myself off, and I qualified for the Boston Marathon around 3:08. Like, the gun went off, and that thing came back. Like, all right, man, what if? And then I went to the Hurt 100, race in Hawaii, 26,000 feet of climbing over 100 miles, probably one of the top five hardest 100-mile races in the world. Out there and got through the race. Did it in 33 hours, was the ninth place finisher, and I qualified for Badwater and got in. I went on to lose weight and train hard, and I got fifth my first year and went back my second year and got third. I'm not the best at anything. I'm not gifted. I'm just driven. Out of the 100 men that go into war, 10 shouldn't be there. 80 of them are just targets. 9 do most of the fighting. 1 is a warrior. I saw it going through training. I saw it everywhere I went. There's so many people who just show up to life.
There's something about talking to a guy like you that a lot of people hope that you're going to say some magic thing that's going to click in their brain. What you're saying is that you have to do those things. You have to suffer. You have to live in it. You have to be comfortable in it. And then maybe some of that shit will help you a little bit along the way.
See me now as the guy that, with his shirt off, who can do 4,030 pull-ups in 17 hours, who can run 205 miles in 39 hours, who can do all this crazy shit. But what they don't understand is they don't understand the journey that it took me to get to this point. And what got me to this point was I was just the opposite of what I am today. I was that guy who ran away from absolutely everything that I got in front of me. I wanted to quit so badly, but I quit everything in my life. I copied through school. I wanted to prove people wrong. And so here I am in this Air Force program, starting to get a little more confidence, but this water was kicking my ass. And 6 weeks into the program, the doctor gave me a blood test. It was, I have sickle cell. So they pulled me out of training for a week. And when you go from being very uncomfortable in that water situation, and then now you're comfortable, and I'm sitting back watching the guys drown. I'm not part of the activities anymore for this week. I didn't want to get back in that damn water again. So the fear overcame me, and all my insecurities from my dad, from this small town, from everything started coming back. Me not wanting to go back in that water, the doctor called me back up. I thought I was going to get like a medical kick out of the military. So no quitting for me. They'll kick me out so I can have some pride. The doctor said, no, man, we could put you back in the training. And the sergeant said, hey, you got to start from day one because you missed, that week of training. And I broke. I broke. I couldn't imagine going back through that again. And I pretty much quit. Even though they gave me a medical, I quit. So from the age of 19 to the age of 22, I went and did a job called TACP, where you control fast movers behind enemy lines. Cool job, but there's no water. I was afraid of the water, so I avoided it. And I gained 125 pounds in that time frame. I went from 175 to almost 300, to 297 was my heaviest. And I started finding things that was comfortable. And the more things I found comfortable, the more uncomfortable my mind was. Because that voice I was telling you about, it always was there. I was just trying to avoid that conscience. I wanted to be left alone from that conscience, and it wouldn't leave me alone. So I got out of the Air Force, and I started working for a job called Ecolab, where you spray for cockroaches at 24, and spraying at different Steak and Shakes, Red Lobster, whatever, from 11 o'clock at night to 7 o'clock in the morning. And what changed, I came home and watched this Discovery Channel show, Class 224. I came home from Steak and Shake. I sprayed it down last, get a big old large 42-ounce shake, walk across the street and get a box of mini donuts from 7-Eleven, and I would drive home for 45 minutes. This big old fat guy. I was watching these guys going through Hell Week, Class 224, and these guys ringing the bell, quitting, dropping their helmet down, rolling out. A lot of guys just leaving. And it made me reflect on my fears, my insecurities. And I saw real men, what I thought were real men, who were staying, who were overcoming adversity, who were overcoming all these different things that I had blamed so many fucking people in my life, my dad, my mom for not being there. Everybody was to blame. My learning disability, my skin color, you know, me being everything. And so I sat there for a while and I was like, I've got it. No one's gonna fucking come to help me. No one's gonna fucking come to help me. It's fucking me against me, period. And so I had to man up. I'm exactly what people said I was gonna be. But a lot of us have these fears that you just don't wanna fucking face. I have a lot of them, I had a lot of them. And that's what created the person who's in front of you today. I had two options, to either be that 300-pound guy who sprayed for cockroaches and made $1,000 a month, and at 24 years old, knowing when I'm 50 fucking years old, I can reflect on this and think about what guy I never became, or I can totally just sack it up and fail and fail and fail until I succeed. To get into the class I had to get into, I had to lose 106 pounds in less than 3 months. Can't do that. I grabbed my chocolate milkshake and went back to Ecolab. I'm going back to work, man. This is my life. Next morning, or this next night, I went to work and I don't like cockroaches too much. I hit the mother load of cockroaches. And this restaurant got full of cockroaches and rodents and everything else. And I sat there and said, this is my life. This is it. I quit my job. Left my canister in that restaurant, my spray canister, got back in my Ecolab truck, and I went home. And I started working out like somebody. I became the most obsessed person on the planet Earth. And I said, this ain't gonna be it for me. We all want to read about how we can quickly get somewhere. That's why the 6-minute ab is so powerful. You may get some results from it, but they're not permanent. The permanent result comes from you. I say it all the time. You have to suffer. You have to make that a tattoo on your brain. So when that hard time comes again, you don't forget it. I'm trying to find more of myself. And the only way I can find more is to silence the world out as much as I can, because it's getting busier every day. It's getting faster. I put my phone away and I go dark. I go dark a lot, and it's because I have to find out. I'm on a journey of life, and we all have a different journey. I like to take this 4-lane highway, the easy highway. We all love that 4-lane highway. We always step over the shovel. That shovel, I made my own path. But going through this path of life, this journey over here that you make yourself, that's incredibly difficult, and we're afraid. It's easier to accept the fact that I'm just not good enough. You have to go into those dark chambers that we often shut off, and you gotta open them up.
There's not some easy, lit up, street-like path with nice smooth roads.
That's right. Fail, and you're gonna be in your head, you're gonna be saying, I'm not good enough. And it's how you get through that. It's how you get through that on a daily basis. When that thing is saying, man, I'm 43, I've done so much, you start to become civilized. The refrigerator gets full. You start making money and you start, I'm not getting cold anymore, I'm retired. At 40, people shouldn't be playing basketball or football. Or at 43, I'm still putting in 100-mile weeks. Still doing thousands of pull-ups, thousands of push-ups, because I'm not allowing myself to become civilized. The worst thing that can happen to a man is become civilized. You want to be uncommon amongst uncommon people, period. You start putting yourself in situations that suck, you'll find yourself. I'm big on being with yourself. I want to be forever proud of who I was as a man. And change who I used to be, the liar, the insecure guy, the guy who can, whatever. I want to be proud. If I die now, if I die at 80, if I die at 90, 100, I want to look at myself and say, proud of myself. I believe in patience. I'm a patient dude. I can watch a piece of grass grow for 20 years because I know that it's just how you get somewhere in life. By being that monk-like mentality, being able to watch something grow very calmly, patiently. I can't go any faster. We do that to our brain. We put a governor on our brain. It's like we feel pain, discomfort, suffering, all those words that we hate to say because we're in this happy, peaceful world we live in now. We stop. We slow down. And if you can get through these different barriers and gain 5%, 2%, 3%, that 40% becomes 60. That 60% becomes 70, 80, and 90. And then you're hopefully one day near 100. That dreamer mentality just would always fuel me. It would just fuel me, man. What if I can be a SEAL, man? Now I run 205 miles. What if I can go? What if I can go? And what if? How would that feel? You have to go into those dark chambers that we often shut off, and you got to open them up. I was, like I said, 297. I was about 32% body fat. And I went, my idea was to run 4 miles for my first run. I ran a quarter mile and walked home. I walked home, sat on my couch and cried. I sat down and I gave up.
You start out on the first day and then do you start running again the second day?
Yeah, the second day I went right back after it again. But I started realizing I can't run that far.
Right.
So what I did was I became damn near a professional cyclist with the miles I put on the bike. I go to the gym, and I developed this crazy workout where I was doing volume, like 200-300 reps. And I spent hours in the pool, hours in the pool. I had to live in the water. The bike got easier. I was able to run more. I went from like 1 mile. 1 mile was a great accomplishment. 2 miles, and then from 2 to 3 was a big one. Then I went from 3 to 6. I failed. I go back to scratch. But I started realizing this is part of the process. This is part of the journey. I'm just not good enough. I'm gonna make myself good enough. When we have bad times in life, even the hardest person in the world, we forget how badass we are during that hard time. I have a thing where I take a couple seconds to reflect on, hang on, man, you've been through this, you've been through that, you overcame this, overcame that. I don't ever close my mind to the fact that this can be done. I've quit several things. I know what's on the back end of quitting. I wanted to be a man that detests mediocrity. I started callousing my mind at this point in my life. I lost the weight and I went back to recruiter. I got into that class. I went through 3 Navy SEAL Hell Weeks in 1 year. Only guy to ever be in 3 Hell Weeks in 1 year, to my knowledge. The first one I didn't make it through, the next 2 I did. And I started opening different doors that I didn't think were even there, that I didn't think even existed. And the more doors I opened up, the more I started realizing that my potential is damn near endless. I wanted to feel something besides defeat. I wanted to just go the distance. And that going a distance pushed me to a point of where now I go way past. I didn't have a motherfucker come wake me up at 3 o'clock in the fucking morning and say, hey, you gotta get your shit in. I had no trainer. I didn't have a nutritionist. It was the self-discipline that I had to survive, to not survive, I was weak, to thrive. No one said, hey man, you're 297 pounds, man. I wanna help you out. I had to overcome, and it self-discipline is everything. And if you don't have it, I don't look at you right, because I know you're capable of more. It's not discipline so much for me. It's all on you. It's all on you. The self part is what's big. We count on people too much to get us through shit. And we look to our right, we look to our left, we're looking for help. And if you can build that self, you can build that total accountability in oneself. We live in a society where mediocrity is often rewarded. We often forget how hard we are, But you got to reflect back. Take a couple seconds, reflect. I've been through this. I've been through that. If you don't believe it, you haven't endured shit, you're just blowing smoke, man. I'm not the best at anything. I'm not gifted. I'm just driven. It's all about trying to share that message with people.
And that was it for today. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. That was David Goggins. If you enjoyed today's episode, come say hi on Instagram, Axel Schura. Join our positive community. It's more important than ever before to surround yourself with like-minded, positive people. So definitely come say hi. You will find the link in the description below. Also, the entire video is on YouTube. You will find pictures of David Goggins. I will put the link in the description as well. Yeah. That's it for today. Make sure to subscribe to the podcast. Make sure to leave a review. It takes less than 10 seconds. Helps me a lot. And until next time, my friends.